So as you can tell, Pastor's not here. I trust he's having a good, relaxing time with his kids. So that's good. Does anybody remember where we were last weekend? Romans 12. I emailed my notes to myself in the event that I forgot them, because I didn't want to have to take like 10 minutes study fellowship and then practice it the rest of that time. So we got my notes. I got my notes. So remember last week how I was talking about, you know, the will of God, and my opinion is just starting out by being faithful and just doing what we're supposed to do. Remember, I kind of talked about just the daily grind, right? Well, this week, I did something I haven't done in a long time. I filled out a resume, and I got three different telephone calls from different people. They'd be peers of that I would potentially would work with if I got the job or whatever, but asking me to apply for the job. So Thursday night, I was not sleeping, laying in bed thinking about it, and it would be for the better, in a way that same thing I'm doing now, a little bit bump and pay, but I didn't seek it out. So my mind starts going to, well, is that what's right for me? I didn't seek it out. Is this something that I should do? Well, then got up Friday morning and thinking about it again. And like, you know, that's kind of back to what I was talking about on Sunday. And I looking back on my life, last 10 years, let's say, and where I'm at versus then to now. And none of it I seeked out. The Lord always just brought it to me. And it's been for the good. So it kind of, you know, Jessica and I were talking that Friday morning about it, and it's kind of neat to see how something like that transpired. So then I actually got to talk to the guys at work on Friday and kind of explain that whole thing to them, and just talking about, you know, serving God and stuff. So it's kind of neat to see how that all folds. So submitted a resume. We'll see what happens. It's out of my hands now, so if the Lord wants it, it'll happen. So, Romans chapter 12 is where we were. And we got down through verse number 9. And it was kind of ironic, after Sunday school, and then Caleb goes to Romans. And he kind of touched on where I'm going to pick up today. And so, and then with what Brother David preached Sunday night, it's just neat to see how a lot of times all of us are on kind of the same topic, mindset per se, and it's not like we all get on the phone like he said and we converse with each other and try to make it all match up, and it's not that at all, and it's kind of like our own little preaching conference, so to speak, you know, so... But verse number 9, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And we ended remember showing you the difference between a real $100 bill and a fake $100 bill and all that, and you having to prove and cleaving to that which is good when we likened that to the Word of God and stuff like that. So... And I left you with the quote, or not a quote, but federal agents don't learn to spot counterfeit money by studying the counterfeits. They study genuine bills until they master the look of the real thing. Then when they see the bogus money, they recognize it. And so we said that's like studying the Word of God constantly, and then when you see a fake one, you know that that's not the real one. Because this Bible proves itself. So we're going to go ahead and get started with a word of prayer. And we'll go from there. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these folks coming, Lord. And thank you for this place that we can meet freely. Thank you for the beautiful weather and just your safety. Watch care over us. Lord, I ask that you would just calm the nerves, help the plainness of thought and speech come across that is glorifying and honoring to you. Help what is said be for your benefit, Lord, and for your glory. Help us to encourage the saints, edify them, And Lord, going through it, there's a lot in here that it can be taken and applied in so many different aspects and levels, Lord. And help us just to have an open mind and just to understand what is being said. Lord, I pray that you would just cleanse me in your blood. Forgive me of your sins, Lord, or my sins. And I pray that you would just get me out of the way and help all that is done here today be honor and glory to you. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm getting my tongue tied up a little bit. All right, verse number 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Now, as I was going through this, there's a lot of these all kind of just, they all flow together. And all these different aspects of this is kind of ties to everybody in here having different gifts. And we can relate and associate with each other at different aspects, different levels, per se, because we all have different ministerial gifts. So, and Caleb had touched a lot on this, not a lot, but he touched pretty good on it on Sunday morning. And I'm like, great, that's where I was going to go. But anyways, it is what it is. So, be kindly affectionate one to another. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We turn over to Psalms 133. Psalms 133. Here's another. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that is descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It sure is pleasant to dwell in unity. So we ask ourselves, how do we increase more and more in brotherly kindness? I got six things that, and you can put them in any order you want. But firstly, listen to their concerns. Mourn with them as they go through trials. Comfort them when they experience difficulties. Find ways to serve them outside your specified church hour block. It's more than just serving each other in here. And pray for them and become their friend. And what comes to mind with becoming their friend is, don't become their friend for what it benefits you. And it's really hard to do because we tend to be selfish. We tend to think about me and only me. And a lot of times, a true friend is not your friend if it only benefits them. That's a two-way street. And so you have that. There's some different things as far as being for brotherly kindness. Let's turn over to John. Let's turn to John chapter 13. I went through this morning and I wasn't as nervous or shaky then as I am now. John chapter 13, verse number 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. How will men, if we have love one to another, how will men know if we are followers of Christ, if we are constantly bickering at each other? Having brotherly kindness will help further the gospel of Jesus Christ. It brings us together. It unites us. Here's a quote. Never view kindness as a weakness. It takes a lot of strength to be kind. And how true that is. It takes a lot of strength to be kind. It really does. So let me get back to Romans. Like I said, Caleb, he expounded on it too. And as I said last week, anybody can go through this chapter and gather so much out of here. It's just amazing. And these are all just foundational aspects and truths of our Christianity. And it's always good to be reminded of. Because these are things that we deal with this stuff on a daily basis. Daily, it's hard to be kind, right? It can be hard to be kind. All right, verse number 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So we all know what slothful means, right? Lazy, slow moving. And think about this, if Christians are lazy in their work, whether it is for food or spiritual, you ain't going to survive. There's no way you're going to survive. Let me get this here. Proverbs 21:25 says, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor." Proverbs 19:24, "A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again." That's just pure laziness, and you're not going to survive that. We're not going to survive that even in our Christian life if we're slothful and we're lazy. Fervent in spirit. Fervent, to be hot, to boil, to glow. 2 Peter 3:10 defines that for us. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up." That's great heat. That's great heat. We're supposed to fervent in spirit. How on fire are we for the Lord? How on fire are you for the Lord? The more we are on fire for Him, the more we will serve Him. And we won't have time to be slothful. We won't have time because we're busy serving the Lord. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 18. Acts. Acts chapter 18. We'll read verses 24 through 28. Here's a man who was fervent in spirit, and you can by him you can see what happened with his fervency. Acts 18:24, "A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ." And what did Paul say about Apollos over in 1 Corinthians? "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Apollos was fervent in spirit. Once Aquila and Priscilla helped get him on track and preach and understand what the gospel was, he helped a lot of people. He was on fire for the Lord. Let's look at Proverbs 12:27. "A slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." Maybe this I can put it to you this way: the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. You're going to go do this hunting trip in Alaska, and whether it be for bear, moose, caribou, whatever, I don't care whether, anyways, and you plan for years. You read, you study, you develop, you learn what type of equipment you need, how to survive, you put all this time and effort into it, and you go, and you bring your electric fence to put up around your tent because you want to help keep the bears out when you're sleeping, even though you're hunting a bear. You want to keep them away from you. So you do all this, and you're dropped off by an airplane, and there goes the airplane, and you're left in this vast wilderness, and you hope and pray that the airplane will come back and get you in 10 days. And you've got all this preparation into it. You've studied what you're after. You've learned how their habits, and you've put all this work into it, and you're successful in your harvest, and you harvest this animal, and you get up to it, and you're just like, nah, I don't want it, and off you go. Have you know that's actually illegal? It's called wanton waste, and you can actually get in big trouble and lose hunting privileges and anything like that. So if we recognize that in our society, then that's bad, right? That proves what this verse is saying. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. If I'm going to put all that effort and work into harvesting that animal, I'm not going to walk away from it. And if I'm in the right frame of mind, I'm not going to walk away. Who's going to do that? There's people that do it, but who's going to do it? The average person is not going to do it. We put a lot of time and years and study into this Word of God, and going to and different preaching and different aspects of just everything, and then we don't use it. We just set it off to the side, and we're not doing anything with it. The substance of a diligent man is precious. As precious as that animal is to me, harvesting it and all the work and effort I put into it, it and the payoff that it gave me, I should have that same thought process and same attitude towards the Word of God. And the more we know, the more we learn, the more that we're full of it, it's a precious thing. And if we're not fervent in spirit, how are we going to show that outward? If some of you have been to my house, I've got animals stuffed and mounted on my wall because to me that's precious in the essence of what it went through to get that. That should be the same with my life and being fervent in spirit and showing other people how precious this is and what God is to me. Some of you guys have met him. I met him on a campaign in Estonia, I think it was. And this man, he, even on our off day, our free day, he is passing out scriptures left and right, never stopping, because he's fervent in what he's doing. And we need to be like that. And I find myself, I always have to think, yeah, I would go on a missions trip and this is where I'm doing this, boom, boom, boom. But no, I need to do that on a daily basis. I need to have that fervency all the time. And so, don't waste what you have. Be thankful. And it's being thankful. Be thankful for what we have, and don't be lazy. Verse number 12, back to Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse number 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Rejoicing in hope. We know who our hope is, Jesus Christ. He is our hope. Turn back over to Romans 8. verse number 24 says, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" It's pretty plain and simple. "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Titus chapter 1, turn over there. I'm still getting the blood off my fingers from I think Caleb had us turning a lot on Sunday. He's not even in here to hear it. Titus. I'll get there. Titus chapter 1, verse number 1 says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So our hope is Jesus Christ. Our hope is Jesus Christ. Rejoicing in that hope is going to help us through our tribulations. Patient in tribulation. We're all going to go through trials, right? Whether it be of our own doing or not. In those trials, we will need patience. And this is, I didn't want to really talk anything about this because I don't want tribulation to come my way. But it's sometimes it can be avoided. But it's good to be reminded. Because so easy when we get in a trial that we're going to want to take it under our own control, not be patient, rush decisions, and usually those decisions that are rushed will not work out the way they should. And it's going to take a lot of time, it's going to take a lot of prayer and a lot of patience to go through a trial. And in Deuteronomy chapter, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's look at something here. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 25. So here we have Moses being told he's not going to go into the promised land. And he's prophesying what's going to happen at the time. He's telling the Israel what's going to happen if they do, if they turn from God. And sure enough, they did. And he picks it up here in verse number 25. It says, when thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall have corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. And if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. So, when we're going through, the people that are still trying to serve the Lord in Israel, That's a tribulation for them because Israel itself is being judged, and themselves are trying to maintain a relationship with God. That's a trial, and by them, even us, not forsaking what God promised us and turning to Him, that's going to help us and give us peace through that trial. Being instant in prayer. Back to Romans 12. Kind of back and forth here. Being instant in prayer. There's a lot of that's been preached. Pastors hit it really good a lot recently. And continuing instant in prayer. And everybody has, we all each in here have our own way of how we pray, whether it be early in the morning, all the time. When I say all the time, you could I guess for me, I'll be driving down the road and just something pops in my mind and thinking about somebody, I'll pray for him on that spot. I try to be cognizant of that. When someone at, whether it be here or at work or anywhere, that's just going through things, and I say, I'll tell them, I'll pray for them, then I pray for them. And, or they ask me to pray, not say a prayer for them. If they say, you say a prayer for me, I say, well, I'll pray for you, but I won't say a prayer. I don't say prayers for you, anybody else but myself. But I'll pray for them. And just trying to, other than just setting aside some time to pray, we should constantly always be in prayer. And being instant in prayer, having patience, and rejoicing in the hope and promises of God, we're going to come out of our tribulation stronger than when we went in. And it's going to take patience, and it's going to just take constant prayer. And if we have our sights set on the hope of Jesus Christ and what he's done and his promises, that should give us something to be patient for. And Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what's it remind us of? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. So Romans 12:2, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Necessity of the saints. And sometimes this is hard to do as well. All this stuff in here is hard to do. If you really get down to brass tacks of it and really think about it and dwell on it. Because it kind of goes against us thinking about other people. We just want to think about ourselves and what benefits me the most. And I don't really care what other people think, but that's not the right attitude. That's not the right attitude. Christians are supposed to help all the poor, which is good in a way, right? You don't want to be taken advantage of, so you got to be careful. But the other believers in the assembly are to get priority. There are literally thousands of worthy projects or individuals that need our help and time and finances. And many of pastors turned away many people. I've turned away people because they come to the door and they ask for money. And I tell, there's people in here that need help. And Pastor, he said it right from this pulpit. There's people in here that need help and could use our help. Why are we then giving help to them? Why are we overlooking us and giving help to other people? Yeah, we want to help them. It's not saying we don't want to help you at all. But this is our first priority. This is who we need to help each other first. So if you're not helping your brothers and sisters in Christ, but you're always helping the poor, I don't like that term in essence, because I've been to other countries and seen what people have had, and they are content. They have smiles on their faces, and in this country, nobody is poor. There's a few people that legit are probably poor, but overall, it's because of our own doing in the majority. But the necessity of the saints, our fellow believers, right, should be our first concern. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 13, given to the necessity of saints, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. It's good to be hospitable. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. The rest of the verses of Romans, they all kind of just help support each other. But verse number 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. We need to be of the same mind. Romans 15:6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Kind of back to brotherly kindness and having one mind, unity. That's how we glorify God. Mind not high things. Mind not high things. What comes to mind here for me is pride. And Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. It kind of just goes right back. Like I was saying, as I got down through this, I'm like, wow, there's some, even a lot of it ties right back into the beginning of Romans and verse number 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And pride, that's when we start thinking that I'm better than so-and-so, I'm better than the person next to me, you're puffing yourself up. And that's gonna bring in a haughty spirit, and you're gonna fall. We're no help to each other if we all go around here thinking we're better than each other. All you're doing is hurting each other. And what does the devil want? He wants to cause strife. He wants to cause division. He wants us to think we're all better than each other so that we're not united. We're not all on the same page. And that it's just a chaos. It's just a mess. And nothing's being furthered for him, for Christ. And we need to be careful of that, because back to us, all I think about is me and what I can benefit from this for me. But how can I be a blessing to somebody else? And I don't care what I get in return, but if I'm being a blessing to so-and-so and they don't like it, that's not on me. That's on them. And we need to be careful of that. Don't think yourself any better than the next person, because it's by the grace of God that we are here all together. And I don't want to be mean or rude, but if it wasn't for this body of believers, most of us in here wouldn't be friends. Face it. And like I said last week, and maybe I said it, but I was thinking it, we see each other in here more than we see our families. There's a few exceptions, but overall, we are together. Outside of work, you see those people every day. Outside of work, this is the next group of people that you see the most. And that leads me to this thought. At work, you're going to do what it takes to get along with a person, to be able to work together, to accomplish whatever tasks it is, because you're getting paid, so you're going to find a way to get along. But then you come in here, and you're not willing to do that. And I think I jumped ahead of myself, but don't think yourself any better than the next person. And it takes a lot of work. Condescend to men of low estate. If you put it in a sport aspect, or even in order for a team or a business to be successful, everyone needs to be on the same page. I said we'll do it for money or fame, but will we do it for the brethren? And it just kind of, I guess I did get ahead of myself a little bit, but we need to focus on what matters for eternity. And that's the bottom line. We need to focus on what matters. It doesn't matter it doesn't matter if we disagree on something. Overall, what matters is the eternity. and what's important. Don't, like it's been said, don't lose focus. Keep what's important. I guess. I think it said something similar to that. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Verse number 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Recompense to retaliate or to return to a bad deed. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. A lot of this stuff should be self-explanatory. But it's always good to be reminded. 1 Peter chapter 3. Finally, verse number 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Two wrongs don't make a right. And that's something, I mean, that's simple. We should be teaching that to our children, right? Two wrong, just because my brother hit me, I'm going to hit him back and show him who's boss. No, that's not the way it should be. I ain't going to make, he might know that I'm the boss. But that's not the way to handle it. Matthew chapter 5. I can or cannot say that may have happened growing up with two brothers, but either way. Matthew 5, verse number 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So when the brethren does you wrong, turn the other cheek and forgive them. And just try to keep the peace. But don't be that brother that's constantly doing wrong, knowing, expecting that brother to, oh, he's just going to turn his cheek and forgive me. That's not right either. Here's another quote. Conflict cannot survive if only one person participates. Takes two to tango. So two wrongs don't make a right. Nobody in their right mind, if you hit me, I'm going to say, oh, hit me on the other side. No, that's not natural. No, that's not going to be. So, no evil for evil. No evil for evil. Forgiveness is not an occasional act. it is a constant attitude. And that's a quote by Martin Luther King. So, but I like that one. Conflict cannot survive if only one person participates. And Jessica had found that quote. She had a book of quotes through year for year. She would work emails or something, and someone would put a quote, and then she would keep track of them through the years. And that was, I don't know who the author is, but anyways, that's good. Remember that. And I guess as in our marriages too, we need to always try to keep that in mind, that if there's going to constantly be conflict, it's both of us that have the problem. And if one of us can get it worked out, it's not going to, there won't be conflict. So just remember that it can't survive if only one person participates. Let's go back to Romans 12. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. We want to be honest. We teach that to our children, to be honest, to be truthful. And be honest. When people look at you, do they see you for who you are? Or are you somebody different? Are you being honest with them? Can they count on you to be honest? Be honest in the sight of all men. Verse number 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceable with all men. If it be possible. Well, if it be possible. So it's hard. So it needs to be possible. You have to live peaceable with all men. And there are going to be occasions where you can't. And in those times you have to just determine the severity of it or whatever and just part ways. But live peaceable with all men. Verse number 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. The man that is wise in his own conceits will react with revenge when done wrong by another person. A man who is wise in the Lord will commit a matter to the Lord when he is wronged by another person. The evil or wrong that he has been done by another will be met with good, and it is the Lord that will take revenge. All these verses, they support each other. And it's just so you can, I was trying to grab things and I wanted to bring things out in each one, but there's just so much there. And a lot, like I said, a lot of it is just foundational stuff that we should know. So just be wise. Don't be wise, wise in his own conceits. Don't react with revenge when you're done wrong. It's the Lord who's going to get the revenge. And it's all through the Bible that about the Lord getting his revenge. And he will one day. He will. But we need to be patient. And he's being patient, I think, for what this earth and this world is doing and treating him. He's showing patience. And we should take a lesson from that, and just when our life and trials come upon us and things, you know, we feel like things are getting tough and hard, just be patient. It's going to work out. The Lord's coming. Think on the promises and think on his hope. We have our expectation that he's coming because he said he is. He's not a liar. So that's just rejoice in all that. So verse number 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. How do we overcome evil with good? Well, it kind of goes back to what was said earlier in verse number 1. And verse number two, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So to overcome evil with good. And for me, I saw that and I'm like, good. And remember back in verse number 9, cleave to that which is good. We need to cleave to that which is good so we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. 1 Peter 2:15, for so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. 1 Peter 3:17, for it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. So to overcome evil, we need to do it with good. And like I said, we need to cleave to this. It's, for me, verse 21 comes back to verse number 9, back to verse number 2. We need, in order to know what the will of God is in our lives, we need to cleave to this book so that it'll prove what is good. Because without something to compare evil and good, how are we going to know? We need this book to prove what is good so that I know what the will of God is for me in my life. And when we see something false that goes against this, we need to have a reference. Just like that real $100 bill to the fake $100 bill, there's a reference there. And this is our reference. This Bible proves itself. A $100 bill proves itself when you buy something. Both of these I'm taking by faith that they're the real deal. And they both prove themselves. And this Bible will prove what is good, what is perfect, and what the will of God is for my life. And that's just something that we have to just strive for every day. It's so easy to just butt heads and you did me wrong, I'm going to do you wrong. And that's not the right attitude to have. We're all a body here. We all need to support each other, help each other, and pray for each other. And it starts with praying for each other and having a care for what somebody's going through. And where there's enough of us in here, and we know enough people, that there's never nothing to pray for. There's never nothing to think about for somebody going through something. People are always going through things, and everybody has their own different trials, their own little things they struggle with. But we all have something, and we all could use, and like Caleb said, when I'm going through a matter, and I ask people to pray, I would like them to pray for me, and I should be the same, of the same mind to somebody else. And I know it goes against the grain sometimes, because it's showing kindness, and sometimes we don't like to be kind. But I know, like I said, there's a lot more that can be said here. I'm kind of just pretty much out of words for the most part, but I hope it was a help. It was a help to me in just being able to see and just get in and dig around a little bit and just see how everything, the whole chapter, it supports itself, and it's neat to see that. So it's almost 10:02. We could probably practice our fellowship a little bit, and I just hope it was a blessing to you guys and just an encouragement and just something to help us along the way. Thanks for your time.